Yeah, thank you for the great music tonight. I know we've got about 14 minutes. I think we're going to be right on time. If you have your Bibles, would you open them, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26. How many of you, anytime someone takes pictures, you're never in the picture? Any of you like that? It's like that with me. I wasn't in one of those pictures. Not one. And so sometimes that happens. And then some people, every yearbook, seems like they're in all the pictures. And so Proverbs chapter number 26, I'm trying to preach just a practical message geared mostly for those that went to camp, but it would apply to every one of us. In Proverbs chapter 26, we'll look down at verse number 20 and notice this great, great verse. And it says, Proverbs 26 and verse number 20, it says, where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. Let's say that together. Where there is no wood, there the fire goeth out. And then one other verse in Jeremiah, just a couple of chapters over, a couple of books over, if you want to turn there, and we'll read this in Jeremiah 20. Looking down into verse number 9, Jeremiah has been in and out of prison for serving the Lord, a prophet, in Jerusalem after it's conquered. Notice what it says with all the ups and downs and disappointments. Jeremiah says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, talking about God, nor speak any more in his name. You ever been there? You ever said that maybe to yourself or to the Lord? I'm done. I'm not going to talk about you anymore. I'm done. I quit. But notice what happens. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I quit. I'm done. He said, but his word was like a burning fire in my bones and I couldn't keep quiet. And then I want to give you one more verse in Acts chapter number 28. Acts 28, Paul is shipwrecked on this island. He's cold. He is washed up on the shore. They've wrecked the ship. And he's headed toward Rome to be on trial. Acts 28 and verse number 1. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. I want to speak for just a few moments and get my little visual aid out here on keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. We go to a teen camp. We go to a junior camp. And we who know the Bible know what it's referring to. There's a fire that begins or gets ignited in our heart. Sometimes we look at someone and say, someone has caught on fire for the Lord. We go to a marriage seminar. We come back. I'm going to have a number 10 marriage. I mean, our marriage is going to make it. We're all on fire. Ladies go to a ladies' conference and they make decisions. And Sunday morning, the spirit is just wide open. And ladies, we would say, are on fire for the Lord. Men go to the men's conference and we eat all these big meals and we're asleep for the Lord. I mean, men come back that Sunday and it's just, man, wasn't it great? And we're on fire for the Lord. So the Bible talks much about this term. Scripture says in Hebrews, our God is a consuming fire. What does that fire represent? It represents God's power, God's presence, God working in us. In Psalm 39:4, while I was musing, David said, while I was thinking, the fire burned. In the Old Testament, over the tabernacle, there was a pillar of fire at night. So these flames of fire was over the tabernacle, reminding the Jews that God was present in their life. The Bible says that they took the fire from the altar and lit the candlesticks inside of the tabernacle. Bible says in Acts 2, it says on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and there were tongues or flames of fire above each of the disciples in the upper room. God's presence. What does this fire do? It gives light. It gives security. It gives warmth. It's a picture of God's presence. A great preacher was a guest speaker at a church. He spoke year after year at that certain church congregation. And he leaned over to the pastor. He said, "Something has happened to your church." He said, "It's alive. It's exciting. There's a buzz going on at this church. What has happened to your church since last year?" The pastor looked over and pointed to one of the men and said, "Pastor, you see this man over here? He caught on fire for God, and he has set our whole church on fire for God." That's what we're talking about tonight, keeping the fire burning. Now, my question to start off with is, why does the fire come down at camp? Why would that happen? Why is it not at Christmas time? Why is it not in April? Why is it not in May? Why is it at camp? Here's the reason. It was mentioned tonight, no distractions. As they went up that hill to camp, cell phone coverage was lost, but they did have the stars. And the firmament crieth out and speaks of God's power. One of the kids went to camp years ago and he came back. He said, "Pastor, how come we don't have stars over Napa?" They've just never seen them. But at camp, you just look up and there's the billions and billions of stars, and God starts speaking like, "I'm great. I'm powerful. I love you. You matter to me." And then, since there's no electronics and television and all the rest, games and cell phones and talking to people not there, at night you had to think about what you heard. And that's why sometimes if you read history in the 1700s, here's Jonathan Edwards. He preached on hell at this great church on the East Coast. There was so much conviction, people grabbed the pillars of the church and said, "I'm falling into hell." There was conviction. In the 1800s, sometimes people would run out screaming out of church. They were under such conviction for their sin. And I'll tell you why. Because they heard preaching. And then they plowed all day long and thought about it. There was a deeper conviction, a deeper love. A wife would iron her husband's shirts and think about how much he loved her and how much she loved him. And there was a deeper relationship there. 2023, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to catch on fire and walk out with the same fire. Then life happens and distractions and phone calls and responsibilities and all these things happen. But David said, "While I was musing, while I was thinking, the fire burned." See, here's the problem. We assume it will keep burning. That's a false assumption. Yeah. I'm on fire for God after camp, and that fire's going to keep going. No, it's not. It's not going to keep going if you don't do a couple of things. A couple of things we have to do. That's what I'm going to speak on tonight. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let the devil blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Paul added wood to that fire. Two things, two relationships with the fire. One, you're going to have to fend the fire. Once that fire's going, there's going to be things try to put the fire out. You're going to have to just kind of stop. You're going to have to fend it off. What are those things? Maybe even over here. What are those things? You're going to have to expect it. Expect fire quenchers. Expect things that are going to put the fire out. Let me just talk about it. Sometimes it's friends. "Well, you went to that camp and you came back all holy. Well, we'll fix you up. That ain't going to last. We've seen this before." Words from friends. Wrong influences. Sometimes it's going to be the music. You've heard gospel music all week long. You've heard the special groups. You've sung the special music. Now, the old world music would love to put this fire out right here. There's all kind of devil's music, ungodly music. You fill your mind with that, it's going to put the fire out. Whatever fire is there, it's going to put it out. You're going to have to guard it all the time. Guard. Fend off. Fend off. The fire is real. God lit something in your heart. By the way, whether it's a seminar or a ladies' conference or a couples getaway, we've all had God light something in our hearts, but you're going to have to fend it off or they're going to put it out. Thank you so much. 37 years ago, we pulled into the parking lot here at the church, started unloading my stuff. Brother Steve Guzman was there. His car was loaded. They were singing songs. Two of my friends had driven cross country with us in a church bus. We didn't turn the engine off because the bus was so old, we thought it'll never crank again. So we fueled it while it was cranked, and we just drove 42 hours straight here. We're laying on the couch after being on a bus 42 hours, and we hear a knock. And I say, oh, must be the welcoming committee. The pastor's here, just got to town. Must be someone with a meal. They must have heard we're in town. One of my buddies opened the door and said, can I help you? Hey, is the pastor here? Tell him the church is going under. It's sinking. It's not going to make it. We don't even know why you moved here. That was my welcome. I was all fired up. I was all ready. We're going to build a church in Napa. And someone came with a bucket to throw on the fire. You're going to have to fend it off. You're going to have to fend it off. First week I was here, there were some strangers on the church property. I said, what in the world? I said, can I help you? It's five or six adults. And they're just kind of walking in the building. I said, excuse me, I don't know who you are. They said, we heard everything's up for sale. How much you want for the pews? How much you want for the bike rack? What do you want for the silverware? And the? I said, do what? Oh, yeah, we heard this church is going under. Y'all got some problems. I said, you can leave now. I said, I don't even know who you are, but you can leave now, and you can be off the property right now. God bless you. We'll mail you a visitor's card. And so, know what? Know what? You got to fend it off. I've been here 6 weeks. Brother Wally Beebe, who ignited the bus ministry in America, had his little bus newspaper. He called and he said, I have an opening. Would you like me to speak at your church? I said, I just got here. I said, we can't put you in a motel. I can't feed you a meal. We have no money. He said, I can stay at your house. He said, I've eaten on my own before. I said, okay. So he spent the night at our house. Faith walked right into his room in the middle of the night. Just walked in. She didn't know we had company. Just walked in his room. He said, you have a soft drink? I said, no, we don't have any soft drinks. He said, I got one in my briefcase. He comes downstairs. You have any ice? I said, no, we don't have any ice. He said, I like them lukewarm. I mean, we had nothing for him. He took me to Wendy's and he paid for the meal. And I asked him, I said, Brother BB, help me. I'm the new pastor. What would you do here? Our roof leaks and this doesn't match. We got broke down bus over here and it's got graffiti on it. Weeds are growing up. Windows are busted out. We got this Indian burial ground here. We got these fences out front. He talked for 3 hours. I'd do this. I'd tear this out. I'd do this. You need to start this. He talked for 3 hours. Then he held up his hands and says, I don't even know if it can be done here. I've been here 6 weeks. Encourage me. Don't drown out the fire. I remember standing up that Sunday morning and I announced to the church, I said, you know, Brother BB that was here Wednesday night? Mr. Famous Preacher? He said, our church stinks. And people got fired up. We remodeled the church. We did a lot of beautification here. And I don't know how many people said, take a picture, Pastor. Mail it to Brother BB. God's going to light a fire, but there's going to be someone try to drench it. Be careful. Guard it. Wonder how many kids got off the bus and the person that picked them up poured the water on their fire. They were all on fire, going to do something for God. They had felt the warmth of God and God's hug and igniting their cold heart, and someone just dumped it on there. It's not real. It won't last. We saw this last year. This will fade out. You're going to have to fend it. Going to have to fend it. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to fend it. Number two, you say, well, Pastor, that's enough for that point. Okay, well, I'm done. Leaders have to put their own wood on the fire. Followers have to wait on others to put wood on their fire. Did you get that? Leaders put their own wood on their fire. A follower has to wait for someone else to put wood on their fire. You said, Pastor, what are you talking about? Number one, fend the fire. Number two, fuel the fire. You're going to have to fuel the fire. The Bible says, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. Simple concept. If you don't put wood on it, it goes out. So the wood of what? The wood of Sunday morning church. The wood of Sunday night church. The wood of Wednesday night church. The wood of discipleship. The wood of godly music. The wood of Wednesday night church. The wood of soul winning. The wood of sermons. One of our men recently had an MRI, and they asked him as they stuck him in that test tube. By the way, I don't do those. The torpedo tube. They stuck him in there, and they said, what type music would you like to listen to while you're in here? He said, the Bible. I bet that's the first time they ever heard that one. I'd like the Bible, King James Version, if you can just tune that in. Hey, guess what he's doing? He's fueling the fire. You just got to fuel the fire. You cannot put that much wood on a fire and it not just keep going. That's the key. Young people, you want the fire going? You got to fuel the fire. Just keep putting the wood on. Bible reading, prayer, soul winning, church attendance, godly friends. Just keep piling it on. That's the key. You just got to fuel the fire. Just fuel the fire. All the wood, just put it on there. Hey, on the bus route, how do you have the fire on the bus route? Mine eye affects my heart. As you're out visiting on a bus route, you knock on a door, you see a house just filthy. You see people you know are on drugs. You see their kids untaught, untrained. Your heart ought to just start breaking. There ought to be something start warming up inside of you saying, we got to do something to reach these kids. Did you hear the testimonies tonight? I've decided I'm praying for these kids. I'm decided I'm going to answer their questions. What had happened? A fire had come inside of the hearts. This morning we had that young man, and I love the post. Cassidy posted something, and I saw a picture of it, and it said something like this. Our bus captain had a stroke. Our other substitute driver's out of state. But we still had the bus route today. Five different adults drove vehicles, picked up over 20 kids for our route. One of them came from Richmond and got saved today. Boy, I love that. Just fueling the fire. That young man, he's about 6 foot tall, 14. I looked up at him and I said, I've never been as tall as you. He kind of laughed. But I looked at him when he was getting saved today. His aunt brought him. She's sitting over there, tears streaming down her face. His cousin is sitting there, tears streaming down his face. What was going on? There was some fire in their hearts. There was something saying, this is real. This is what it's all about. Yeah, it's not about just the weekend. We got this relative to church. He's going to heaven. Amen. I was walking out of church. I said, Brother Schulte, I'm sorry we're a little bit long today. He said, what do you mean, Pastor? A soul got saved. What do you mean we're a little bit? Man, he kind of rebuked me. He threw water on my fire. Anyway. On the bus route, we need fire. In our soul winning, we need fire. Door to door, house to house, track to track, passing something out. In our marriages, we need to add some fuel to the fire. We're dating. How long can you talk? Good. Hours pass. Now we got the ring on the hand. You want to do what? Talk? You're dating. Where do you want to go tonight? You get married. Let's just stay home. Sit on the couch. You want that marriage on fire? You're going to have to put some wood on it. It may be a date night. It may be talk time. It may discussing some things. It may be reading some books together. It may mean holding hands again so someone knows who you're married to. It may mean putting that wedding ring back on. Whew, conviction is coming. You're just going to have to stoke that fire. Years ago, I passed a business person's desk. They were at work. And I saw a book on their desk, and it said, the title was Restriking, Rekindling the Original Fire. re-striking the original match. So I just assume they're trying to get the fire back. You can. You can. We're running out of time. Plus, we need to eat popcorn. I want to say this. We need to fuel the fire in our child rearing. We're going to have a baby. Let's read every book we can. It's going to be great. Age 3. You know where the kid is? I don't either. I hadn't seen him in a while. It's all this precious. Oh, we need to raise this child. And what are they going to drink? And what are they going to eat? And are they allergic to this? Hey, we ought to stoke the fire and get that fire back, being concerned about raising our kids and them turning out and praying for them. Where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. And I just want to say this. You're going to have to fend it. You're going to have to fuel it. And it'll never go out. It'll never go out. Some of you young men, Jaden, I heard your testimony, heard some others tonight. I think I'm going to preach. That's your job, to fuel the fire. Who fuels the pastor? Who fuels the missionary in a foreign country? Who's gonna keep his fire going? You gotta put it on. God gives you the wood, you gotta put it on. Maybe you're here tonight, you did have a fire at one time. A fire for souls, a fire for your marriage, a fire for some ministry. Guess what? God's fire didn't go out. Yours did. Let's get the wood back on. Kids going to Bible college, let me encourage you. Your most important appointment every day is not your classes. It's not breakfast, it's not lunch, it's not supper. It's where are you going to spend time with the Lord? Where on the campus? Is it going to be in the library? You're going to find a tree? You're going to get alone and open that Bible and pour your heart out, read His Word? Where is that? You're going to have to stoke the fire. It will go out if you don't. It will go out. By the way, that's why some churches in our town have shut down. They're no longer church. They sold the buildings. Someone forgot to fuel the fire. Let's keep the fuel on the fire.